You would open your Bibles to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. This is God's word. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish." Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them. Do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Then he told them this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." May God add His blessing to this reading from His holy and inspired word. Do you ever suppose when you see someone experience tragedy, I mean like, wow, tragedy, boom, something really powerful, they must have done something to deserve that? I mean, after all, we know that sometimes the way a person presents themselves in public is not the full story. And so there's a tendency, at least on my part, and I expect on the part of some of you, to wonder if there wasn't some reason. This is, you know, in other contexts, people might call it karma, but In a scriptural context, it's truly the principle of sowing and reaping. The Bible says, God is not mocked. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And so if something really bad happens, it's like, oh, I bet they did something to deserve that. Now, sometimes that is what's going on. But not always. I'll give you three examples of where that was not the case in the scriptures. One, of course, is famously Job. Job endured one disaster after another disaster after another disaster after another disaster. And it wasn't because he'd done something wrong. It was because he was being attacked by Satan because God had pointed out what an extraordinarily godly man he was. He was doing the right thing, and as a result, he attracted the loving attention of God and the attack of Satan, which was permitted by God. Wow, I don't get that at all. Well, Job didn't get that. Job couldn't figure out what happened. What did I do was his question. I'll tell you another example where it wasn't because the person had done something wrong. There was a man who was born blind. And so Jesus' disciples asked him, who was it that sinned in order to bring about this blindness? Was it because of a sin he committed, or was it because of a sin his parents committed? Jesus said neither. That's not to say the man had never sinned, and it's not to say his parents had never sinned. It is to say that the suffering he endured in his life with his blindness was not a result of his sin or his parents' sin. In fact, it was part of God's plan in order to manifest God's glory and reveal who Jesus is. So that when he was healed, it was a miracle that no one could deny. One of my favorites from the book of Acts. The Apostle Paul has just endured a horrible, disastrous storm at sea. When they finally get to shore, clinging to the wreckage of the ship, the Apostle Paul doesn't just sit there and say, well, man, I'm in chains, I can't do anything. Instead, he went around gathering up wood to put on the fire in order to help warm everybody. And in the process of picking up sticks for the fire, he was bitten by a snake that was known to the locals as being very poisonous and deadly. And so when they saw what had happened to him being bitten, they said among themselves, oh, well, see, justice prevails. This guy must be a murderer or some other terrible criminal. And even though he survived the storm, now this snake is going to kill him. That's justice. But it wasn't. In fact, not only did it not kill him, it didn't even make him sick. He shook it off into the fire. It's a good thing to do with serpents. He shook it off. And when they saw that he was not made sick from the serpent bite, they bowed down and worshiped him, thinking he must be a god. Because they knew how deadly that kind of snake was. Why was Paul bitten by the snake? Because it was in the wood when he picked it up. Yeah, but I mean, what was the purpose in this? Well, it wasn't so the people would think he was a god. Sometimes when we look at things, we have a very hard time understanding what's really going on. And so they came to Jesus, a group of them. And they said, did you hear about what happened to those Galileans? Jesus, remember, was a Galilean. Did you hear about what they did to those people from your area? Pilate mixed their blood with that of their sacrifices. He killed those people. That's what happened to them. What do you think of that? And Jesus said, do you think that's because they deserve to die more than the other people? No. But I tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Does that mean that you're going to be killed by Pilate? No. It means instead of trying to figure out what this person may have done wrong, or this person may have done wrong, or this person may have done wrong, you need to be looking at your heart. You need to be examining yourself before God. And saying, Lord, I need your grace. I need for you to change me. Jesus then gave them another example. A tower in Siloam fell on a bunch of people and killed them. You think they were more guilty than the other people? Jesus says, no. See, Jesus brought up that one. They had brought up the other. Jesus says, well, I'll give you another example. He said, do you think they were more guilty? No. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. I grew up having memorized as a very, very young child, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish. What does that mean? Does it mean if you believe in Jesus, your body will just keep on going? And, you know, yes, actually, you all think that I'm in my 60s. I'm actually 260, and you just didn't know it, but it's because I got saved as a child. And so therefore, no, that's not what that means at all. Well, so what does it mean? It means even death can't harm you. If I died in childhood, I would have been saved. If I died in my 20s, I would have been saved. If I died in my 50s or 60s, I'm still good. So, well, it doesn't look good. He looks dead. Well, that's just my body. That's just my old body. This earthly tent, as Paul describes it. It's wearing out. But I am fine because I have new life in Christ Jesus. If you don't repent, some of you need to repent. It's all of you need to repent. He doesn't say some of you are in danger of perishing. All of us deserve hell. Not just certain ones. We live in an age when a lot of people think the idea of anybody going to hell is just completely barbaric. That's ridiculous. If there is a God, he certainly wouldn't be like that. I mean, there's no way. Those folks are utterly clueless. They not only don't recognize the grotesque evil that happens every day in this world, they don't recognize the grotesque evil in their own hearts. Jeremiah the prophet doesn't just say that the heart is extremely wicked. He says the heart is deceitfully wicked. What does that mean? It means we don't even know how bad we are. We don't even recognize how bad we are. My teeth looked relatively white until my beard turned white. You understand? You see, compared to other people, you know, I've seen people with bad teeth, you know. I mean, it's like a groove, gross. That's just gruesome. My teeth are pretty good. Maybe not. Beard came in and now I'm... You may have noticed that now I just speak like this. No. But I no longer labor under the delusion that my teeth are pearly white. They are not. Pastor, you can get some of those strips and put on there. And Or laser treatments. I hear they do laser treatments. No, I'm just glad they're my teeth. I was blessed with good, tough teeth. I got them from my grandmother. I don't mean that we removed them from her and gave them to me. I mean I inherited, genetically, her teeth. When my grandmother was in her 90s, she was having gallbladder surgery, and they came in, and the nurse said, Mrs. Wood, if you'll just put your teeth here in this cup. And she said, no, these are my teeth. And the nurse said, yes, ma'am, and we'll make sure you get them back. And she said, no, these are my teeth. And she said, yes, ma'am, we'll be sure they're fine. And she said, no, these are my teeth. And the woman was like, that's amazing. Because here she was almost 100 years old. She still had her original teeth. Isn't that amazing? But you know what happened to that lady with the wonderful, tough constitution who made it to her 100th birthday? You know what happened to her? She died a few days before her 101st birthday. You know what's going to happen to you, whether you live a long time or a short time? You're going to die. I'm going to die. I inherited a number of durable body parts, and I'm glad of that. And probably whenever I die, I'll still have my teeth. But you know what? My body's still going to give out. And I'm going to have to stand before God. And if I try and stand before God on the basis of the things I've done, you know, well, God, I want you to notice I did do that. This morning, just for example, I made my wife's breakfast for her and brought it to her while she was still sleeping. On the basis of what do I commend myself to God? Nothing except the blood of Jesus. His righteousness and His righteousness alone. That's my only hope. Not anything good that I have done and not any list of things that I've abstained from. I remind you from time to time that when I ask people the evangelism explosion questions and I say to them, if God were to say to you, if you died right now and God said to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would your answer be? When they start listing their reasons for getting into heaven, almost everyone says, and I've never killed anybody. As if that puts you over the top. Okay? I'm always a little nervous about the people who don't say that. But you know, it's like, I know I'm not perfect, but I try to be a good person and I try to be nice to other people and I've never killed anybody. I guess the unspoken part is I've thought about it a lot, but I never killed anybody. That won't get you into heaven. God doesn't grade on the curve. God isn't saying, well, the whole class failed. I guess we'll make anybody who got a 70 gets an A. And, If you got a 60, you get a B, and if you got a 50, that's about average for the class. And we'll try and make it so that even people who got a 30 still get in. This is not the way it works. Jesus says to all of them, and hence to all of us, you need to repent. You need to repent. You need to repent, or you too will perish. And then he told them this parable. It was about a man who had a vineyard and he planted a fig tree. And God's command, by the way, and this is good husbandry of your fruit trees, you don't eat the fruit for the first 3 years, okay? Even if it produces fruit, you let it grow, but you wait. God said, then you can eat the fruit. I have no idea why. But I know that that's what it says. And I've been told by people who have apple trees and peach trees and so forth that, you know, you need to wait a few years before you eat the fruit. I guess, okay. But you should be getting fruit. It's not like after 3 years it should start to produce fruit. No. It should be producing fruit. And this guy went to see how his tree was doing. And it wasn't producing any fruit the first year. And it didn't produce any fruit the second year. And it didn't produce any fruit the third year. And so he said, the owner said to the guy who took care of everything, cut it down. It's just a waste of space. It's using up soil, but not producing anything. Get rid of it. And the man said, please, let me give it some special attention. Let me cultivate it more closely. Give it one more year. Give it one more year. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. Now, why did Jesus tell that story? Because the history of this nation, the history of the Jewish people, was that they killed the prophets. They had prophets. God sent them prophets. But they killed the prophets. Oh, so they're more wicked than the pagan nations. No. No. But this was a special group planted by God. God had chosen them out of all the people on the earth. Not because they were better. Not because they were stronger. not because they were smarter, but simply because God chose them. Peace doesn't depend on us. Please know that. It'll help you to understand the Old Testament and the New Testament and life. God's choice doesn't depend on us. His choice is a matter of grace. All of us deserve hell. It's not like God looks down and says, well, okay, those people right there, they definitely don't deserve to go to hell. We will save them. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody has vomited into the soup. Everybody has messed up. We all deserve hell. And God, in His mercy, has chosen to save some for the glory of His name. And if that is offensive to you, if that just eats on you because it's like, no, that's not democratic, get over it. The question is not, how does that make you feel? The question is not, does that seem American? The question is that what God says in His Word? Well, I don't think that's fair. You want fair? Go to hell. I can't believe you said that, Pastor. No. Understand what I'm saying. Fair, if we all just got what's fair, all of us would be destroyed. All of us would be destroyed. Not some of us would be destroyed, or most of us would be destroyed. All of us would be destroyed if we only got what's fair. I think it's been at least 2 years since I told my preacher's joke from when I was growing up. I'll tell it again because I don't want you to think that I've forgotten the story. The woman went to the photographer to have her portrait made. And after he had taken a number of pictures of her, she came back. This was not digital photography age. This is back when I was growing up. She came back to see the proofs. That's a series of prints that you can choose from and say, that's the one I want for my portrait, okay? I like this shot best. Because sometimes I'm going, and sometimes I'm going, and sometimes I'm going. And so I get to look at the proofs, and I get to say which one. And the woman looked at all the pictures, and she said, I don't believe that these pictures do me justice. And the photographer responded, Madam, you don't need justice, you need mercy. That's what we need. That's what we need. We don't need for God to look at us and see the good we've done because our righteousness is as filthy rags in His sight. If God just gave us what we deserve, we would all be destroyed. So what do we need to do? We need to repent. We need to repent. It's probably been 10 years ago now. But a woman was walking down the sidewalk in downtown Maryville, Tennessee, just 30 minutes from here. And as she walked down the sidewalk, a huge section of the brick wall of the building that she was next to that had been there for longer than she'd been alive, I think, that huge section of brick broke loose and fell on top of her and killed her. Now, when I hear that story, my first thought was, boy, I wonder what she did. I know the Bible. I know this passage. I knew this passage and had preached this passage prior to that event. But I mean, that's a whole big section of brick that's been there forever, and it picked that particular moment to drop down and crush her. She must have done something. No! Jesus says that's the wrong way to think. Instead, when something like that happens, I need to say, am I ready to die? Am I ready right now? A precious Christian lady, along with her husband and a number of friends were in a van driving through Ware's Valley, down close to where the stables are on 321. And as they drove along, having wonderful fellowship, a tree fell on top of the van and killed her. She was a precious Christian with a strong witness for Christ. She worked with youth in her church. She was a marvelous person. Taken. When something like that happens, what do you think? Well, one thing we ought to think is, I don't understand why God does what He does, the way He does, when He does. But I know that God is good all the time. And the next thing we ought to think is, what if that was me? What if I was the one in the van? What if suddenly I'm in the presence of God and I have to give an account? Where's my hope? What am I counting on? Jesus knew that very soon the crowds would call for His death. Jesus knew that all the guilt of all the previous slaughter of God's servants brought to focus as God incarnate would hear the cries of His people. Crucify Him! Crucify Him! Because the unregenerate heart is hostile toward God. And so Jesus said, judgment is coming. In 70 AD, the Romans would absolutely destroy Jerusalem. Within a generation of when Jesus is speaking these words, the tree is going to be cut down because it did not produce fruit. And yet God in His mercy even then preserved a remnant. Not just preserving the Jewish line, which is still a miracle today, the way that God has preserved and preserved and preserved. And one day they will look on the one that they have pierced. And there will be a tremendous harvest of Jewish people. As a matter of fact, we're seeing some of that right now in the world. God is doing amazing things, even in the nation of Israel, not just in other countries where Jewish people are coming to faith. But I'll tell you this. The only hope for any individual is not their ethnicity. It's not their genetic makeup. It's not their childhood upbringing. Relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not enough to know the story. It's not even enough to believe it's true. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that the devil believes that Jesus is God incarnate? Absolutely. He knows that. Do you believe that he knows Jesus is born of a virgin? Absolutely. He knows that. Do you believe that the devil believes the miracles in the Bible really happened? Absolutely. He knows they did. Well, do you believe that he believes Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins? Yes, he knows that. Well, does he believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Of course, he knows that. Does he believe Jesus is coming again? Yes, he knows that. He knows his time is short. Does he know that his doom is sure? Yes, he knows that. Is that going to save him? No. Because knowing the truth is not the same thing as saying, Lord, have your way. Have you come to the point where you don't just believe it with your head, but you say to him in a relational faith, Lord, I'm yours. I want you to have your way. Our Father in heaven, may your name be hallowed. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our basic needs, our daily bread, and forgive us have forgiven others who have wronged us. Lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Because the kingdom and the power and the glory belong to you forever. Have you entered into that? Have you put your trust in Jesus? He's the only one who saves. And when you hear about somebody who dies suddenly, don't wonder if maybe they did something wrong. Ask yourself, am I ready? Am I ready? Because none of us knows when it may be our time. I want you to be ready. And so Jesus says to all of us, repent. Repent. Well, I've already repented, so I guess I'm done with that. No. No, it's a life of repentance. The churches in the book of Revelation were told, one by one, 5 out of 7, specifically told, repent, repent, repent. These were people who'd already repented, but they still needed to repent. Why? Well, I'll tell you, in my life, it's because even though I yielded my life to the Lord at a young age, I have an ongoing issue with my flesh wanting to do things that I should not do. And sometimes I give in. Sometimes I do things I shouldn't do, and I fail to do things I should do. And sometimes my attitude isn't what it should be. And therefore, I need to continually go to the Lord and say, Father, forgive me. Cleanse me. Change me. Transform me from the inside out. Grant it, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.